go with me back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I have something tonight that I pray the Lord will enable me to convey to you. I've been deeply begging the Lord to allow me to show my sincerity. Monday morning is usually a moment of both reflection and anticipation for me. When I come into the study, a lot of times I'll just take a minute and think about the day before. It's a big day for me. It's a big day for us. And I just think about Sunday. Think about the things the Lord gave me to say to you. We're in such need of His Spirit. We're in such need of His Spirit. If we're truly going to worship, we must have His blessing, the blessing of His Spirit. So a lot of times I get there on Monday and it's just a time for me to give thanks for worship. He allowed us to worship. And usually I end up thinking about this congregation. Monday morning is generally a time when I think about each one of you. I mean literally each one of you. It takes some time, but I go through each one of you. I try to pray for each one of you, from the oldest to the youngest. I don't care how young. And I try to pray for you all the time. I try to pray for you as often as the Lord brings you into my mind. But Monday seems to be, that's just one of those specific times that I think about you and I pray for you. And I think the reason is because I'm coming in reflecting on what I just said and wondering what I'm about to say. I immediately go to Wednesday. And I'm wondering what is the Lord going to give me to say to Him now? Where I'm going with all of this is, I love you. I love you. I love gathering together with you. I love worshiping the Lord with you. I honestly do. I believe with all of my heart that I do. I give thanks to the Lord for you. I give thanks to the Lord for you. And tonight's message is a reflection of that. This is sincerely from my heart to yours. Just like the Apostle Paul wrote sincerely from his heart to this congregation, this is from my heart to you. Let's read the first five verses here. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Now let me summarize all of that in one line. Do you see the parentheses at the end of verse 10? At the end of verse 10, there's a line in parentheses. He's saying, we are so thankful because our testimony among you was believed. That's what he's saying. We're so thankful. I am so thankful that I believe. And I am so thankful that you believe. I am so thankful that you believe. I'm so thankful for the fact that all of us believe God. Sincerely, I mean sincerely, my heart to yours right now, currently, this congregation. I am so overjoyed and I'm so thankful for the fact that you believe. It blesses my heart every time I see you walk through those doors, still believing. Now, a story like this could be told about every person here. I have a lot of stories. And a story just like this could be told about every person here. I just selected one. One that I like quite a bit. This reminds me of just how thankful I really am. This reminds me of just how thankful I really am. A few years ago, there was a girl in this congregation who worked at a bank in Knoxville. And she liked a boy who worked at the same bank. And one Sunday morning, she brought him to hear the gospel. And I remember it. I remember it being a pretty straightforward message. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember it being a pretty straightforward message. And the reason is because I remember saying in my mind, he'll never come back. I had no choice. I had to preach what God gave me. That was the message God gave me. And I had to preach it as the oracles of God. But I remember thinking the whole time, it was rolling through my mind the whole time, he'll never be back. What is it now, 4 or 5 years later? There he sits. I thank God for the fact that you believe. I thank God for the fact that his testimony among you was believed. I mean it. I mean it. I am bound to give thanks for you. What that means is I can't help it. I have to. I have to. I love you. I love every one of you. I love every one of you. There are some people in this room that I've known for 35 years. There's some people in this room I've known for 6 or 7 years. There's some people in this room I've known for 6 or 7 months. The time frame is completely irrelevant. It is totally irrelevant. I believe that God has put a love in my heart for you, and it has everything to do with the fact that God has united us together in Christ. It has everything to do with the fact that we all sit here together in Christ. We are drawn to one another. And we thank God for one another. All because of the testimony that God has caused us to believe. The testimony of His Word. The testimony of Christ. Now, let's look at it here in verse 1. It says, Paul and Silas and Timothy, unto the church. He's writing to the church. One man said many years ago, a true church is more than a group of people banded together for religious and social functions. A true church is the work and building of God the Father in Christ. He chose us. He adopted us. He called us. He redeemed us. He regenerated us. And He has received us in Christ. All of it is in Christ. A true church is in Christ. In the body of Christ, in the mind of Christ, in the spirit of Christ, in the favor of Christ, in the blood of Christ, in the faith, love, and hope of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30 says, of God are you in Christ Jesus. And we're bound to give thanks for every soul who is. We're just bound to. We're bound to. We have to. Can't help it. We just cannot help it. Verse 1 says, Paul and Silas and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. How glorious is that thought? Turn with me over to John chapter 10. I love this chapter. John chapter 10, verse 1, this is our Lord speaking. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. He preached that parable to the religious Jews, but they just couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't enter into it. They had no idea what he was saying. No idea. So he said, let me say it this way. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, one church, one church. God has one church, one congregation unified, and one shepherd. There's one shepherd. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. They said, we just cannot comprehend this. We cannot comprehend what you're saying. We cannot get a grasp on this. The reality is, they could comprehend it. They just didn't want to comprehend it. They understood what he was saying. They just did not believe what he was saying. And they couldn't believe what he was saying. Verse 24, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt?" How long are you going to hold us in suspense? "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They believe my testimony. They hear my voice, and they follow me. They hear it, and they believe it. Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. They are in me, and they're in my Father." They're in me, and they're in my Father. They are completely safe, completely protected from anything that could ever harm them. And he said, "I've given them eternal life." Now, dear church, as Brother Bruce Crabtree says, dear brothers and sisters, do you know what that means? Go back to our text. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 1. This is what it means. Verse 2 says, "Grace unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace from both of them. Grace and peace from both of them. He has given us, grace is a gift. He has given us eternal life through Him laying down His own life. And nothing will ever be able to harm us. Nothing will ever be able to harm us. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. Verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren." Where does the thanks go to? Although He loves them with all of His heart. He loves them with all of His heart. But He's not thanking them for coming. He's thanking God for bringing them. I thank God for bringing you. I thank God for bringing me. We are bound to thank God for you. I thank God for doing this in you. I thank God for doing for work in me. I'm so, so thankful. Turn back just a few pages to Philippians 1. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." And if you see in the margin there, it says, "You all are partakers with me of grace." You're all partakers with me of God's grace. It's all of grace. God started this. God started this. God has already finished it. And God will perform it until the day He returns. We're bound to give thanks to God. Bound to give thanks to God. Go back to 2 Thessalonians 1. Verse 3 says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet." That means fitting, right, good. It's good. It's right. It's fitting to give thanks for you, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love, charity means love, of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Paul said, not only did God initially give you faith to believe, he said, I can see it with my own two eyes. He is increasing you in it. You're trusting him more and more. And Paul said, it thrills my heart. Not only is God increasing your faith toward Christ, he's increasing the love that you have toward each other. Paul said, I can see it. Verse 4, he said, so that we ourselves glory in you. Glory means rejoice. So that we ourselves rejoice in you. He said, what I see God doing in the hearts of this congregation, it causes me to rejoice so much. And that's my sincere word to you. It causes me to rejoice so much. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. He said, I see what all is going on. I see all that you're having to endure. I see what each one of you is having to endure. All the things that God's people on this earth have to endure. And Paul said, it blesses my heart to see God strengthening your faith, strengthening your patience, strengthening your love through it all. I see what God's people have to go through. But it blesses my heart to see him strengthen his people through it. They trust him more. Verse 5 says, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. What he's saying is, every sinner on this earth will either be judged by Christ or has already been judged in Christ. And he said, I thank God for the fact that you show the evidence of already having been judged in the righteous judgment that God poured out on his Son. I thank God for that. What is the evidence? What is the evidence of that? He said, you believed the testimony. You believed the testimony. He said, I thank God for the faith that he's given you. You believed the testimony. I thank God for the love he's given you, the love of the testimony. And I thank God for the patience he's given you through all the trials, all the persecutions, to trust him. You look to him. You wait for him. You believe on him. You worship him. We're here to worship him. Is life easy street? No. What are we going to do? Worship him. We're going to worship him. Through all things, we're going to worship him. He did that. We give thanks to God for that. And Paul told them, he said, I want to leave you with this word of comfort. And I want to leave us with this word of comfort. Verse 6, he said, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, those that persecute you and afflict you. He said, it's a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, those who are persecuted and afflicted and troubled, rest with us. Come on in here and rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe." He said, rest with us. Rest in Christ. Rest in His grace. Rest in peace. Rest in safety. Rest with us. Because. Verse 10 in parentheses. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He said, I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I'm bound to thank God because He caused you and He caused me to believe His testimony. Thank God. Thank God. All right, let's all stand together. Thank you.